getting good at this now. Hey. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Well, it's funny actually because the title of this evening's service is Complacency. So, you know. Yes, I did, yeah. So. It never came to me this morning. I've been battling to get a word all week and then it just came to me, you know. So praise the Lord. God works in mysterious ways. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we just pray, Lord, that, Lord, as we hear your word tonight, Lord God, that, Lord, you just speak into our hearts, Lord God. And, Lord, we recognize, Lord God, that we all carry hurts and things that we've been through, Lord God, just make life difficult for us, Lord God. But we thank you, Lord, when we just come to you and into your presence, Lord. There's healing in your presence, Lord, and there's healing in your words, Lord God, just as you speak truth into our lives, Lord God. It just transforms the way that we think, Lord God, and just allows us to for our thoughts just to come in line with your thoughts, Lord God, and that we can see things from your perception and not from our own perceptions, Lord. So I pray, Lord, that you just lift us up, lift our heads up, Lord, and above the parapet, as it were, of life, Lord God, that we'd be able to see into our own hearts, into our own lives and into our situations, Lord, and just see things for the way that they really are in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Indeed you do. Okay, if you do want to turn to Luke chapter 14, verse 15 to 24. Now, I promise this is going to be short. Okay, I promise this is going to be short because Rachel needs to get back and watch the football. So I'm going to try and keep it down to a minimum. So, all right, so just so you know that. So. Luke 14, Argentina 24. I mean, that's 15. Luke 14, verse 20. No, Luke 14, verse 15. Yes, that's it. So, 14, 15. That'd be some match, wouldn't it? Wow, that'd be so 14, 15. That's it. Anyway, let's forget off the football now, okay, so let's concentrate. Okay, it says, when one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the man who eats at the feast in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field, and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'The World Cup is on, and I need to know it.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I have just got married, so I can't come.'" Excuses. Married, come on. "The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those men who are invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" Amen. Praise the Lord. I just want to, just from this scripture, just try and grasp something of God's heart here. You know, he's desperate for his people to come back to him, isn't he? Just his people to come. And the invitation is out to all. I mean, even those people who refused, the invitation was to them as well, you know. And you think, well, gosh, they don't deserve anything, you know. But it wasn't about whether you deserve it or whether you're worthy of receiving from God. The invitation went out to all. And when these people just refused to come in, he went out into the whole, everywhere, basically. And he's saying, "I'm going out to the whole world. I'm going out to the whole." Because, I mean, John 3:16 says, doesn't it? "For God so loved the world, that the whole world, that he gave his only son." And this is God's heart, that he wants to see everyone saved. He wants everyone to come and taste of his feast, of his goodness, of his blessing. He wants that for every single person on the earth. And that invitation is still there today, just as it was in Jesus' day. That invitation never goes away. And the thing is about some of these people that he's invited in here, when these other people refused, was, he said, bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind and the lame. It's like the downtrodden of this earth, you know, in some ways like victims of society in a way, you know, people who've just had a real kind of bad sort of experience of life. And it just, again, this just shows God's heart. He just wants to reach out to people, because, and he actually, he sees people as, you know, his heart is so, although we've all fallen short of God's glory and we've all sinned, and that's true, God also is, in his heart and his mercy, he sees us as, like, in a way, like sort of victims of what's happened in the world and sin and all these things. And that's why his heart is so compassionate towards us, because he recognized, I mean, Jesus walked this earth, he knows, and he's experienced the hardships and the trials and the temptations. He knows what we all go through, doesn't he? He knows what we all go through, and he sees things in a different way that religious people would see, that, you know, people deserve what they get, you know, that kind of attitude. He sees it more in so much more in a compassionate way, that he just loves people so much, and he knows and he empathizes with what people have gone through. And see, everyone, there's something in our hearts that always likes to see an underdog succeed, isn't there? Someone that's been really trodden down and gone through the mill and been through a hard life. You just want to see people succeed. And God's put that in there because that's his heart as well. He just wants to see people come from. And everyone's been through that. I mean, even these guys that refused, you know, for whatever reason, they refused, all of these reasons, the compassion was no less towards them as it was to these other folks, you know. But he was desperate for them to come in, you know. So God is just so compassionate. And, you know, I've got to confess, I've been watching quite a lot of the World Cup. And as I was preparing this message, it just so happened that Argentina were playing Iran. Okay, Argentina were playing Iran. And I mean, if you know anything about football, Argentina are like up here in the world ranking. Iran are kind of right down here. And there's something, when you're watching this, you think, come on, Iran, you know. It's nothing personal against Argentina, but you thought, well, these guys, you know, these guys really shouldn't even be there in a way, playing this kind of other team, you know. But they were just giving so much and trying so hard. It's just something in your heart just starts to reach out and think, yeah, come on, you guys, you can do it, you know. And this, I believe, is God's heart as well towards, not just to you know, the downtrodden, but just to all people. He sees the hardships, he sees the difficulty, and he often sees our maybe like lack of ability in certain areas of our life and the things that we struggle with, and his heart just reaches out to us. He wants to see us succeed so badly, you know. And sometimes you think, well, yeah, that's impossible. I'm an underdog in this situation. You know, when you're facing these circumstances, you're facing these struggles, it just seems so difficult. And, you know, sometimes you know, you're given something to do and you think, oh, man, I'm just so out of my league in this. You know, this is just way, you know, I'm just, why am I being asked to do this? And, you know, and you think, well, but God's with you in those times. He really is. He's for the underdog. He's for the one he's for the downtrodden, the ones who are in a situation where it just seems absolutely impossible. His heart is just for you in these situations. You know, sometimes, you know, when you get like in sport and otherwise, you get like rank outsiders, don't you? And you love these stories, don't you, about like when, you know, like when teams have a really good cup run or there's a horse, it's a kind of like 1,000 to 1 or something, and it just comes through and wins the Grand National or something. You know, they make films out of these stories because people love to hear these stories of just how someone comes from nothing into something which is just absolutely incredible, you know, and it's incredible achievements. And you look through the Bible and there's loads and loads of these stories and of situations like that. I remember once when I was young, and it's a long time ago, but I was young once. And but yeah, my brother was like, you know, so who are you going to, what football team are you going to support? Is it Liverpool or Everton? Because you either supported Liverpool or Everton. In some strange cases, people supported Tranmere as well. But mostly it was Liverpool and Everton. And at the time I thought, oh, well, everyone, you know, all these people support Liverpool and all these support Everton. And I just wanted to do something different. So I had a look at the leagues and I went right down. I thought, right, who's the team at the very bottom? Right, so I went down and there was this team there, Crewe. Crewe, you know. Who were they, you know? And people still say that when I support Crewe. Who were they, Crewe? But I just thought, I remember going there. It was like when I was little, and we went to the train station. We got the train up to Scotland, so I kind of knew about a little bit about the place. And so I just seen this bottom of the team right at the bottom. I thought, I just felt sorry for them, you know. Oh, they're right at the bottom, you know. And it's like my heart. It was like a compassionate thing. It's like, oh, this team, you know, they must be the worst team ever, you know. I know, I'm going to start seeing how they get on. So next Saturday, I looked out for the results, and sure enough, they lost about 5-0 or something like that. I thought, oh, I said, this is cruel, you know. So I started following them more and more. And in the end, I started to support them, you know, and started getting behind them, and went to my first match. And then it sort of snowballed from there. And then I was, like, really following them. I was going to all the matches and everything. But they were just, like, the rank outsider of, you know, just, like, the laughing stock of football at that time. But bit by bit, they got a new manager in. They got, like, this youth academy going. They invested loads of money in developing young players. And bit by bit, they started getting better and better. And now they produce some of the most, you know, some of the best footballers that the country's ever seen. Which isn't actually hard, it's England, you know. So something else I say. So that's another thing I do. I also support an underdog in the World Cup, England, by the way. So. But yeah, just, you know, there's a compassion in our hearts towards the underdog, and that was the case then. But the Bible's full of these stories, you know. Like the classic examples, David and Goliath. I mean, if you just turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Hold on. 1 Samuel chapter 17. And verse 33. I mean, you all know this story. I mean, you knew this story when you were in Sunday school. It's just a real popular story that really captures the imagination of, you know, when you're a kid. It really captures your imagination. It's, you know, this little, you just imagine this little lad, David, you know. It says, Saul replied, "You're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him," talking about Goliath. "You are only a boy, and he has been a fighting man from his youth." So straight away there was this, like, you know, he was kind of put in his place. Look, you know, David, like, this is impossible. You're completely the underdog in this situation. You're the rank outsider, you know. And you can receive that as rejection. Do you know what I mean? You could take that to your heart quite badly, you know. That you know, oh, I just want to give him the best. No, I'm sorry, you know, you're not good enough, you know what I mean? I mean, how many of us have been through that kind of stuff, you know, just like words of discouragement and things like that? But yeah, you know, at the end of that, we all know the story. This rank outsider, this complete and total underdog, was absolutely victorious. And he completely changed his status from underdog, and eventually David became king, you know. So you can see this rising and see how God works, you know, with these, like an underdog. You're an underdog, you're in a situation where it just seems like impossible, absolutely no hope, but with God on your side, you know, anything is possible. I'm sure you all know the story about Gideon, you know. I mean, it's just ridiculous, isn't it? 300, what, soldiers against how many? 100,000, was it? I don't know, I can't remember the figure, but it's just ridiculous. Completely outnumbered, shall we say. Total rank outsiders, total underdogs, but yes, eventually they just were victorious. And yet, you know, and then you look at Jesus himself, you know, born in a stable, right from the very off, his life was under threat, you know, from Herod, you know, all those children were just, you know, mercilessly just slaughtered with the single aim of just trying to eliminate Jesus, and yet somehow he just evaded that and survived. And so just born in this kind of, you know, I mean, he used to say about him, didn't he? He was like, you know, what good could come out of Nazareth, you know? Again, you know, it's all this, like, you know, you're trying to keep you down there, as the underdog, that it would just seem impossible to be victorious in this situation. And yet we know that even, like, through Jesus' life, all that attack and everything, and yet, you know, when that stone rolled away, he was victorious. I mean, it's born in a stable, and it just seemed like nothing, you know, it just seemed like a nonsense, and yet that child went on to defeat death itself. It's absolutely incredible. So if you just turn with me to Mark chapter 7. and just reading from 27 to 29. In fact, I'll just back up. I'll read the whole thing from 24. Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it, yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an evil spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek born in Syrian Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. "First let the children eat all they want," he told her, "for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Yes, Lord," she replied, "but even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he told her, "For such a reply you may go. The demon has left your daughter." She went home and found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone. Now this woman could have taken offence at what Jesus said, but she caught hold of something here. That she recognised that, I'm an underdog in this situation. The religious teaching that time was that maybe, I couldn't really get anything in this situation. I wasn't kind of worthy of it, because of my identity. But she did recognise one thing, that it doesn't matter how low or what status you are in this world, that everyone is entitled to the blessing of God. And even if that's just crumbs under a table, she recognised that she was entitled. But the thing is that what Jesus was trying to say to her was like, there might just be a few crumbs under here. That's what you might be expecting. But actually, there's a lot more for you, And that more came when that daughter was completely and totally healed, So praise God. Sometimes, it might feel like we're the underdogs in situation, but it doesn't disqualify us from actually receiving the full and total blessing from God. He has absolutely everything for us. It doesn't matter who you are, what you've been through. You are entitled to that full blessing from God as much as anyone else. And as we said this morning, whether you're Jew or Gentile, whether you're English or Scottish, whether you're Rangers or Celtic, I meant to say that one this morning. It doesn't matter who you are. You are entitled to the full blessing of God. See, Jesus knows what it's like to be the underdog. He knows what it's like to be downtrodden and rejected. He suffered more rejection than we can ever imagine. And we've suffered a bit of rejection in our lives, haven't we? There can't be anyone on this earth who has not experienced some form of rejection in their lives. We've all suffered it in one way or another. But Jesus suffered it so much more than us. I mean, I'm sure when you were all growing up as kids, you maybe experienced some kind of bullying at school, perhaps. When you're young, it's really hard trying to fit in with your peers at school. It's very competitive. You have to fit in, don't you, at school to be accepted. Apart from Kirsty, who is the anomaly in the situation. But there's so much. Bullying's a huge problem in schools. And how much damage does that do? How much rejection do kids feel? I remember when I was at school, there was a lad who used to wait for me after school, and he used to come with a glove. Yes, he was actually prepared, but he'd come with a glove, and he'd get nettles, and he'd chase after me with nettles. You come on. And all that I think it was because I had ginger hair and glasses, and that was it, That's just crazy, And it hasn't affected me at all. That's not that. Bless that guy, wherever he is, Lord. Just But we experience so much rejection just as we're growing up. I mean, you even hear about this is actually true, that babies can feel rejection in the womb, just by words spoken by the parents. They can hear, beyond the womb, and they can sense, if they're rejected. And that's the power of rejection. I'm sure you all know examples. Just being an alien in a foreign land, it can be hard, if you move to a different country, or particularly where there's like cultural differences or language differences or whatever, you can feel it can be quite a lonely experience, and that. you know, for people who have been through that. Maybe like when you were growing up, your first childhood romance didn't quite work out, you know, and you could be really rejected by that. Maybe like failure in school, you didn't live up to your parents' expectations, you know, with this is not all mine, by the way, I'm just saying, you know, these are just examples. So, so yeah, as you can see, I am over it now, so yeah, so failure in exams, you know, you didn't quite get to Oxford and Cambridge like your parents totally ridiculously expected of you, and because you wanted to do something else completely different, so you know, there's a bit of rejection attached to that sometimes. Just even things like, you know, things like just racism and discrimination, and you know, the sort of rejections that are kind of attached to all that, you know. But this is, you often find like people who suffer rejection, if it's not dealt with, they often become like bullies. Do you know what I mean? Bullies. Bullies bully because they haven't dealt with their own rejection. That's, you know, and I was thinking about that. I thought, wow, how much has rejection had an effect on society as a whole? How much of the sort of the ills and the woes of society is just to do with that simple fact of just still carrying rejection in your life? I mean, it's actually, you start thinking about it, it's like, wow, you know. I mean, it's huge. But despite all that, everything that we've been through, nothing can compare with the rejection that Jesus experienced. Because Jesus was rejected by the religious leaders of the day, by the church, by his own people, by the world, by everyone. He was, you know, when he was nailed to that cross, he was rejected by everyone, like the whole world. But not just the world, this is his creation, his people, his beloved people. He was rejected by them. I'm not even going to talk about the physical pain of crucifixion tonight, because just think about the actual pain of that rejection that he went through. It must have been absolutely mind-blowing, phenomenal, just even beyond our comprehension or thinking. I mean, even Peter, you know, the one that walked on the water, you know, denied him three times. And he had to endure not just the cross, but just the mocking, the insults. And I mean, Jesus went through it all. He really did. He experienced rejection like nobody has ever experienced rejection. And why did he do that? Because he wanted to take all that rejection and our rejection, and he wanted to nail it to that cross so that it could just be completely dealt with there and then. And that's why we have an opportunity to be set free, you know. So there's stuff that we're holding on to, you know, just experiences and things like that. We need to know tonight that all those things are just completely nailed to the cross. They died at the cross. That rejection, even all that, those things that happen, even in the womb, in the childhood, through our life experiences, you know, even like when you've been for jobs and you haven't got jobs and all these things and criticisms and all of these things, just so many things, and I'm sure you can all think of stuff that you've been through right now. All that was just nailed to the cross. Jesus took it all upon himself, and it was just nailed to the cross, so that we don't have to feel that kind of rejection anymore. And the amazing thing about Jesus is, for all that rejection that he went through, he actually empathizes with us, with our rejections that we experience, you know. He has that empathy for us, because even, you know, sometimes it's like, you know, you've been through a hard time in a certain situation, and then you see someone else going through the same situation. Sometimes if you're a little bit, you know, you can start thinking, well, now you know how I feel kind of attitude. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes we, you know, if we're quite honest, we can feel these kind of things. Well, yeah, you know, I've been through that. Now you know exactly what I've been through, you know. But God's not like that, is he? You know, he's, when we're going through difficult situations, he's not like, well, now you know. This is what it's like to be a Christian, I'm afraid, you know. This is, it's going to be hard, you know. It's going to be difficult and tough, you know. So this is it, you know. I went through the cross, so this is what you're going to have to go through. His heart's not that in that way, is it? He sees the difficulty, he sees the struggles we go through, and he knows, he understands what we're going through. He empathizes with us, because of his compassion. His compassion, he wants to heal the brokenhearted. He sees our hearts broken with all these situations, and he just wants to reach out and just heal us. He wants to set us free from that broken heart and restore that heart, so that we can just, you know, that we can be set free from not that situation, just that situation, but also from the hurt of that situation. Because often it's the hurt of the situation that causes us to be maybe aggressive and have all these like attitude problems as a result of it. But we not only need to be set free from the situation, but we also need to be set free in our hearts, in our attitudes. So we have a pure heart, you know, that we've been through a difficult time, but yeah, you know, you see other people in a situation and you think, wow, gosh, you know, I just want to reach out to these. I know where these people have been through. Because people respect that, don't they? You know, if they know that you've been through a similar situation, there's a connectivity there, isn't there? There's a mutual respect, and it becomes like, well, yeah, you know, I can listen to you. I want to hear what you're saying, because, yeah, I know that you've been through this situation. And we look for that in our leaders, don't we? You know, especially like political leaders, we think, yeah, well, you know, do you really know what it's like to be working class? You know, we often look at these leaders and think, yeah, but you've had a very easy life. You know, you've just been handed down this big inheritance. You never really had to work for anything. You don't really understand what we're going through. And people look at things like that and judge leaders like that. So it's important, I think, you know, particularly as church leaders, that we have an empathy with where people are at and an understanding. And, you know, not necessarily that it's, you know, that people should have to go through bad experience, but certainly, you know, we should have an empathy with people. So Jesus isn't like that. He doesn't want to glorify in anyone's suffering at all, and he doesn't want anyone to be taught a lesson through what they're going through. But then, as much as Jesus empathizes with us in the rejections and the experiences that we've been through, and as much as we recognise of his compassion and towards us in these situations, he doesn't just leave it at that point, because he wants to lift us up. He wants us to be overcomers. So yeah, he's got this compassion, he's got this empathy, and he comes around with us and he brings comfort, but he also wants to lift us up. You know, as we said earlier on, David was this underdog, this little kid who defeated Goliath, but then he was lifted from that point on. He never looked back, did he? He went on to be king of Israel, you know. So yeah, you know, we can be in these downtrodden, difficult situations and circumstances, but he doesn't want us to, you know, just to remain in that place where we're just receiving empathy. And because sometimes we can stay in that place, can't we? And sometimes, you know, it actually feels good to be in that place, you know, and we want to stay. And then we can get into that self-pity and all that kind of stuff. And that's no good either. We don't want to stay in that place. We want to allow Jesus just to lift us up into a place where we actually become an overcomer. And that's the thing, you know, whenever you're watching these things where there's like a rank outsider and they win, and it's like, wow, it's amazing. Suddenly the expectations rise, don't they? Suddenly you start thinking, well, actually, yeah, these are actually better than what I thought here, this team here. You know, maybe this team can actually go on and win this tournament, you know. Maybe Iran are going to do it this year. Maybe Iran are going to take heart from this amazing performance against Argentina, and they're going to get a result in the next game. They're going to go on and they're going to actually win. You know, expectations rise, don't they? The more the underdog succeeds and has success. Because as God comes alongside us and empathizes with us and lifts us up, he gives us a new status. We can no longer call ourselves the underdog. We can no longer call ourselves the downtrodden. You know, we can no longer call ourselves these things, but we can start to begin to call ourselves overcomer. I'm an overcomer. How am I an overcomer? Because I was down here, I was in the gutter, but the Lord just came alongside me, he lifted me out of that gutter. It's just out of his compassion, he lifted me up, and he didn't just lead me there. It's like the story of the Good Samaritan. You know, that guy that was beaten up, he wasn't just taken out of the gutter and just left there and set on his way. He was sorted out, wasn't he? He was like strapped up and he was rested and he was tended to. And that was for a purpose, so that he could get up and go on and become the person that he was meant to be. And it's the same for us as well. So he wants us to be an overcomer. Why? Because rejection can lead to so many faults in our attitudes. You know, it can lead to insecurity, you know, anger and revenge and hatred, self-pity, as we said, and just lack of self-control and poor temperaments and all of these things. Things that are just going to hinder us in our walk with the Lord and in our walk with one another. These things are going to hinder us. So that's why he comes alongside us. He comes with his compassion. He lifts us up. And then he sets us in a place and a new status as being overcomer. And it says this in Revelation, doesn't it? You know, when Jesus is addressing the churches, he talks about overcomers. Because there's a lot of good things about these churches, and we heard it this morning. That, you know, you can start looking, yeah, I'm in this good situation and everything seems fine, but we can become complacent. And God's always in the business. He wants to take us on, not in a striving way, but just because his heart, his compassion, wants to see us just move on and our character to change constantly, you know, and move into more and more of God's best. And repeatedly we see this word overcome. In Revelation, in Revelation chapter 2, verse 11, it says, "He who overcomes will not be hurt at all by the second death." In other words, we have eternal life. In verse 17, it says, "To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give him a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to him who receives it." He gives us a new name. Gives us a new name. It's like we're a new creation, aren't we? You know. And in verse 26, it says, "To him who overcomes and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations." Again, you know, he lifts us up into that place. He gives us responsibility. You know, to have authority over the nations is a place of responsibility. Now, there's times in your life you think, "Wow, you know, how could ever, you know?" Because you're in that place of where you're feeling rejected and that, and you think, how can I ever really have any kind of authority or responsibility? But then God lifts you up and then he says, "No, actually, I'm giving you responsibility and authority." You know, what, me? Yeah, you. You know, you that you thought you were rejected and downtrodden. You're not that anymore. You're an overcomer. And I'm giving you authority over the nations. In chapter 3, verse 12, it says, "To him who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will he leave it. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will also write on him my new name." Again, it talks about new creation, but to me that also speaks about like assurance, having that assurance of just knowing that solidity of just knowing that God is just there with you. He's just given you this new status, this new identity, and that's who you are. That can never, ever change. In verse 21, it says, "To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." Seated in heavenly places. He's actually saying, this is not just a throne here, or this is his throne. He's actually saying that you can sit with him on his throne. I mean, wow. You know, I mean, what a promise that is. And he's talking about us, that's us, overcomers, that's our new status. And so you see what God's done. We were down in this place, we were downtrodden, we felt like complete outsiders. And we were, you know, when we were in that situation. But just in his love and his compassion, he came alongside us. He lifted us up and he's restored us and set us in a place, a new status as an overcomer in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's good news, isn't it? Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Hallelujah. Father, I just thank you for this word tonight, Lord God. I thank you for that truth, Lord God, that you have just, you just reached out to us, Lord, just even when we were doing our worst, Lord God, even when we were our most desperate, Lord, in the most place of least hope and in a place of despair, Lord God. Lord, you just, your heart of compassion just reached out to us. Lord, your compassion, Lord, the empathy, Lord God, that you had for us, just, Lord, reached out to us, Lord. And you came alongside us, Lord. You lifted us up, Lord God. And Lord, you've just set us in a new place, Lord God. You've seated us in heavenly places, Lord. Even with you, Lord God, upon your throne, Lord God. Lord, that you've declared us as overcomers, Lord God. That there's nothing on this earth, Lord God, in this world, Lord God, that can defeat us, Lord God. No matter what the situation or circumstance, Lord God, no matter how difficult it may seem, Lord God, we just thank you, Lord God, that you have an answer, Lord God. And that answer, Lord God, is that we are overcomers, Lord. That answer is that we are overcomers and we can overcome, Lord God, because of your sacrifice, because of your love and your incredible mercy and grace, Lord God, to us, Lord. So, Father, I just thank you, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that if anyone here right now, Lord God, is feeling down or in a place of despair or, Lord God, or just that hope, Lord God, has just ebbed away, Lord God. And Father, I just pray, Lord God, that you would just come alongside them right now, Lord God. Just meet with them in this place, in this situation, Lord God, and just lift them up, Lord. Lift them up, Lord God, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We're just going to take a bit more time just to worship him. And hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just allow God just to heal you. You know, if you've experienced rejection, I believe everyone has experienced rejection. Even as Christians, we've experienced rejection. Probably more rejection sometimes, you know. As Christians, we've experienced rejection, and just allow God. You know, God doesn't want us to be in that place of despair, you know, and in that place of hurt. You know, there's pains that we've experienced, and sometimes they just resurface. You know, it can just be a trigger sometimes, and the enemy knows these triggers that just, he wants to try and remind us of these places of rejection. But it's at these times that God just wants to remind us that we're overcomers, and he knows, he's been there, he walked this earth, he knows what we're experiencing, he understands, he empathizes with us, and for that reason, that's why he comes alongside us, and wants to just lift us up, and bring us to a place of healing, and to a place of joy, and a place of restoration. Amen. So, hallelujah.